April 2nd, a day can't wait for it. Right now, my expectations are high for April 2nd. Get the ball rolling on April 2nd. You know, just sitting on a spring, waiting for April 2nd to get here. Can't wait to see that come to life starting April 2nd. April 2nd, it dates in my mind. April 2nd, let's get it started.
Happy April 2nd, okay? The reason why he was so excited about it, Harbaugh at least, the first day of voluntary workouts for those three teams, including his team, the Chargers. You see the Falcons on that list and the Washington Commanders. So three teams beginning their offseason program today. As we welcome you into NFL Live, so glad to have you here. Dan Orlovsky is here. Marcus Spears is back. Yay!
I know I'm not in person and you can't see me, but I'm giving you do see me giving you big hug. Hawk, I've been seeing you, so.
Yeah, but
hey,
yeah,
y'all.
Don't get left
what's
out.
Hey, y'all.
I'm sending hugs too. We're so glad that
what y'all
Swaggy
been doing?
Was back. Well, we've been missing you. We've been
what
working.
Y'all been doing?
We've been working.
We've been
bro,
talking
what
ball,
you, been
you know.
Hey, man.
You've been falling in boats?
falling out of the boat.
Falling off boats into the lake, man.
We also
just wilding out here, wilding.
Wilding, catching fish. Anyway, that's Andrew Hawkins, as we said, and we've got a lot to get to, guys. Let's go right to the Chargers, okay? As we start with them, and we heard from Jim Harbaugh, he's really excited that it's April 2nd. Voluntary workouts underway. This is so important for the tone that will be set with the team going forward. The first time Harbaugh really gets to lead and coach in L.A. Here's more from the Chargers head coach today on just how all of this is going as the start to the voluntary offseason is underway.
We just got right into it. We just got right into football, putting the schemes in offensively, defensively, and then the baseline training. So Ben Herbert is huge. In this phase one, and when I say baseline training, just finding out where everybody is, where is their baseline, what do they need improvement on, just that here to engage.
So, Marcus, the first day for players at the facility. Obviously, we're a long way till the season starts, but what's most important for them to get accomplished day one?
I think a lot of it is what we just heard Harbaugh say, Boogie, and that's culture, setting the tone for what this team is going to be. I remember when Harbaugh signed, when we found out he was going to be the head coach, and we talked about the Chargers. And think about what we've seen from the Chargers over the past couple of years, losing games late. The physicality has been questioned when we start talking about stopping the run from the defensive line standpoint. Austin Ekeler was a bright spot, but they still didn't have that nail and hammer that they wanted to have from an offensive standpoint. So I think just setting the tone and then having Bosa come back and being able to keep Khalil Mack, you got veterans that can kind of move the message along the locker room and while these workouts are happening. And then Harbaugh gets a chance to put his eyes on these guys and see the level of commitment, how these guys are getting to it and preparing in order for this particular phase of the season. You find out a lot about your team at this point, but I think more so they are just installing a culture with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, no doubt. There's some work that still needs to be done. In fact, the Chargers, $25 million over the cap entering free agency, so they had to make some tough decisions. L.A. restructured Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and center Corey Linsley. They traded Keenan Allen to the Bears, cut Mike Williams, and let Austin Ekeler and Gerald Everett walk in free agency. They brought in Gus Edwards to replace Ekeler, along with tight ends Will Disley and Hayden Hurst to replace Everett, and also linebacker Denzel Perryman. They're going to look a lot different, but either way, Dan, it's a big draft ahead for the Chargers. They can do a lot of work, make some hay there potentially. Where does their focus need to be to help improve this roster?
I would be shocked if they don't take offensive line.
Yeah.
Shocked. I think that's the easiest or one of the easiest picks in the draft. Everyone continues to talk about wide receiver. I saw Harbaugh with Shefty the other day and some of his life sayings. And one of them that stood out was stop trying to win the fight in the first. Stop trying to win all your fights in the first round. They're not going to win this fight taking a wide receiver in the first round. They will add to this run game and protect Justin Herbert. Take your mind back to when he was at Stanford, dominant offensive line. Take your mind back to when he was with the 49ers, dominant offensive line. Take your mind to when he was at Michigan, dominant offensive line. The Chargers don't have that right now. He is playing the long game in L.A. I would be absolutely shocked, as good as this wide receiver class is. Marcus just talked about it. Culture, identity. They gave games away. You know what's the easiest way in the NFL to not give games away? Dominate the line of scrimmage. I would be floored if the Chargers did anything but take an offensive lineman.
Yeah, you see it on the screen. They have the number 5 overall pick in the draft. We'll see if they can even maybe trade back and still get an O-lineman, get some capital for that 5th pick if somebody wants to go up and get a quarterback. You may notice that Hawk's not with us right now. It's because he's having technical issues. Otherwise, we'd be hearing from him.
Get but your Wi-Fi we'll get right, Hawk. Get your Wi-Fi right.
Yeah, you know what? It's the name of the game here. All right, let's carry on here with the Falcons. Another one of these teams beginning voluntary workouts today. Raheem Morris and the Falcons are planning for Kirk Cousins to be a major upgrade for that offense. He had more passing touchdowns in 8 games for the Vikings than the Falcons quarterbacks had all of the season. Cousins, 2nd in the NFL in completion percentage over expectation, according to NFL Next Gen Stats, which means he was completing tough throws, okay? The Falcons quarterbacks ranked 30th in that metric last season. If you think about the upgrade just in that stat alone, we're going from 30th to 2nd. So, Dan, they brought in Cousins, but what else needs to be fixed before the start of next year for this Falcons team?
Yeah, if the Falcons can get a legitimate pass rusher on the edge, they can win this division and they could be a threat in the playoffs. This offense doesn't have a ton of holes now in Atlanta. They've got a good offensive line, a dynamic back. They could throw the ball downfield with speed and possession. Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Can Arnold Ebikadi, who they took last year, and him be problems on the edges? A Colson at linebacker, can he be that bona fide interior guy? The defensive lineman from Illinois, Newton, like, can those guys be the pieces for this Atlanta Falcons defense? You know, at the pick, Marcus, Laura, I'd say this, like, I think it's defense. Now, hear me out.
Ooh.
I could understand if this new regime sits there with Kyle Pitts and goes, he can't get healthy, or I don't know if he's going to be.
He's saying Bowers?
Correct.
Yeah.
I could see that. I still think it should be defense, though.
Ooh. Go ahead, Swag.
Yeah. I thought about that Brock Bowers as I've started, you know, spent my time off doing a lot of fishing, but I started getting in on these guys and these teams and not only looking at needs, but like, what do you want to establish with Kirk Cousins, right? And you bring the quarterback in and conventionally you think about that deal, but I would absolutely go to a pass rusher, bro. Yeah. We see the effectiveness and how fast it can change the trajectory of your defense. Now, my issue is this. Do I take Leitu, who I think is more of a hybrid? Like,
out of UCLA?
Like Pittsburgh almost uses TJ Watt, right? Yeah, out of UCLA. I really look at him as a hybrid. He can rush the passer, but I've seen him drop and use footwork. I've seen him work both sides of the edge. But when you look at Dallas Turner, who we showed earlier, and you think about his athleticism, the physicality, his explosion, both of these guys could be beneficial when getting after the passer. But if you want to do more, is it Leitu? Because we've seen him do more on the college level and be asked to be a part of a coverage scheme. If you just want a guy to put his hand in the dirt and go forward, Dallas Turner out of Alabama is your draft pick. If that is what you're going to do consistently, line him down and tell him, look, go get the quarterback every time you have an opportunity. So I'll be interested to see what the scheme is and the mentality of this pick. If they choose one of these outside edge rushers, if they want them to be more in that hybrid role, I go Leitu out of UCLA. If I got a guy with a hand in his dirt to play physical and get off the edge, it's Dallas Turner out of Alabama.
Yeah, Raheem Morris, who's now their head coach, wasn't this versatile scheme guy with the Rams. It was – now he had Aaron Donald, you know, so it was let's make sure
Aaron
that we play that on – you know, so obviously that makes – but Grady Jarrett coming off of injury, I understand he's not AD, but
yep. –
I think, Marcus, because that's the benefit of paying Kirk. While it costed a ton of money, you still have that pick. And you now, if you – this is an organization, Marcus, that, what, for almost 10 years now, you've been searching for that edge rusher. And that's why I think, like, at the end of the day, they got to get the guy that they think is going to be more equipped to be that elite edge rusher.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, too. You said if they can get that, they can win that division. You think about the other quarterbacks in that division, and it makes a ton of sense. Get somebody who can go after them. I kind of like Dallas Turner when it comes to that. He just hunts quarterbacks, and it's something he did at the college level. I think it translates well. We carry on here on NFL Live. A whole lot more to get to today, and we're glad you're with us. The Bills still looking to get over that Patrick Mahomes hurdle, but they've had more losses than games this offseason. Here why Swagoo thinks Buffalo's window has already closed. He'll explain. Plus, day one isn't the only day to find stars in the draft. Stay tuned for what quarterback Dan thinks the Broncos could take a flyer on when day two rolls around. A little hidden gem moment. That and more coming your way right here on ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The 2024 NFL Draft is in Detroit, April 25th, 26th, and 27th. And we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And as always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft. It's this month. It'll be here before we know it. We're glad you're with us today on NFL Live. ESPN draft analysts Matt Miller and Jordan Reed put out an article today on ESPN.com that you should go check out. It identified the biggest needs for teams and a potential name to watch on day two. That would be a good fit. That's when teams are really built, right? So we're going to read and react to a couple of these, starting in Denver, where Matt Miller said South Carolina quarterback Spencer Rattler would be a good fit after day one. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I love that. A couple things about Spencer Rattler. He is unbelievably physically talented as a thrower of the football. I mean, the ball just absolutely explodes off of his hand. The second thing is his journey has definitely matured him. His journey has definitely hardened him. And I think that's a really good thing for a guy that, you know, went into college with a lot of hoopla around him. And this kind of allowed him to focus on really trying to be the best version of a quarterback that he can be. He goes to Denver, Sean Payton, with the physical talent that he has. That could very much so be their answer.
Yeah, he also did not have an O-line that could even do anything at all last season.
Never actually, complained, never pointed
exactly,
fingers.
I was going to say, I think it helped him a little bit. To the 49ers, where Matt Miller thinks Washington wide receiver Jalen Polk is a prospect they should target on day two. Hawk, a wide receiver, a pressing need for San Francisco, you think?
I think it's an ever-pressing need for San Francisco always, because that's who Kyle Shanahan is. He almost always wants to grab a receiver in these first three rounds. And if you look at their scenario now, they're going to figure it out with Brandon Ayuk, which will put them in position to have to make a decision on Deebo Samuel after this season. Kyle Shanahan will sleep a lot more fuzzier at night if he knows he has a young receiver that he can develop to be another guy on the other side of Brandon Ayuk with the chemistry that he's developed with their quarterback.
To Dallas, where Matt Miller mentioned Texas running back Jonathan Brooks as a player that could fill a need for the Cowboys outside of round one. Marcus, make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense to me because of his explosiveness. Now, he suffered an ACL injury, and I know that's a concern, but the underline is that Dr. Dan Cooper did the surgery, who is the orthopedic surgeon for the Dallas Cowboys, so they understand his injury. And more importantly, with Tony Pollard vacating and going to the Tennessee Titans, you need an explosive version of a running back in this league now. I think it would make a lot of sense with him, and they also re-signed Rico Dowdle. He's explosive. He's still a one-cut guy, and get north and south. I think this would be a hell of a pick for the Dallas Cowboys, barring the injury.
All right, so let's get you caught up on some top stories, everybody. We're going to start with one of the top prospects in the upcoming draft, Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean. He sent a letter to all the NFL teams informing them that he has been cleared to return to football activities after fracturing his fibula in November. He'll hold an individual workout April 8th at Iowa to do an on-field, all on-field testing and position work without any restrictions. Something to look out for. Cooper DeJean back. I know, he said, I'm back.
He looks like me.
Okay, to Kansas City. Another person looks like you. Carson Wentz has agreed to a one-year contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. Wentz joins his fifth team in 5 years to back up Patrick Mahomes. He spent last season with the Rams and led Los Angeles to a victory in the final game of his only start. Blaine Gabbert backed up Mahomes in 2023 when the Chiefs won their second straight Super Bowl and third in 5 years. Staying in Kansas City, Adam Schefter reported that free agent running back J.K. Dobbins visited with the Chiefs earlier today, and Schefter added that the former Ravens starting running back is, quote, expected to have a home very soon. Dobbins Dobbins coming off a torn Achilles that he suffered in the first week of the 2023 regular season, but certainly can make a team better. Keep an eye on that. And to a football adjacent story now, as the buzz continues to grow with the idea of NC State basketball player DJ Burns trying his hand at football. The 6'9", 275-pound center has people dreaming of what he could do on the field. Here he is today on the Dan Patrick Show about those rumors.
You want to play in the NBA, correct?
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
Okay. If you don't make it, would football be something that you would at least think about playing?
I mean, I'd probably explore some other options with basketball first before all of that, but I'm not a closed-minded person.
I mean, Marcus, you played hoops. You also played football. Like, you think this transition should happen?
Here we go.
Hell no, the transition shouldn't happen. But if it needed to, he would be a phenomenal left tackle. Because I'll tell you what happens. Basketball translates to football, especially for guys up front, because it's about footwork and it's about technique. But I will tell everybody this about DJ Burns, because we do cover the NBA and college basketball, NFL Live from time to time, because y'all know how much I love it. He is going to the NBA, and he's going to be a successful player in the NBA, because the NBA has become about skill for big men now. Thank goodness it's coming back a little bit, and he has Nikola Jokic to thank for him being a draft pick and having success on the next level. DJ Burns will be an NBA basketball player. But if not, somebody will have a left tackle trial waiting for him in the NFL.
He got better feet than you?
Nah.
He couldn't dream of having these type of feet, though.
You seen those
feet? He couldn't dream of it. Just like you. Just like you. You couldn't dream of it.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, stay tuned for more opportunities to make fun of Dan today. We got a good one coming your way if anybody saw the McAfee show earlier. Up next on NFL Live, what year two quarterbacks will take the biggest leap? Find out why Will Levis may be in the best shape for that jump after wholesale changes were made in Tennessee. We'll explain that and so much more fun next on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I've always been doubted my whole career.
Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud.
The lowest scoring quarterback.
I think he really believes he is that guy.
I don't got nothing to prove to nobody, man. If you don't trust and believe in me, all I can tell you is watch this.
What a throw by Stroud.
This guy is something else.
My confidence isn't going nowhere.
Domination to the divisional round.
Everybody counting us out. Houston versus the world.
Man, it was fun to watch C.J. Stroud last year. Let's go on trend, okay? He lit up the league to win Rookie of the Year. Let's see what's going to happen year two, according to the trends. This is where I'm going to give you a stat. You're going to tell me if the trend continues next season. So let's start with Stroud, who had one of the best rookie seasons in NFL history. He led the NFL in passing yards per game and touchdown-to-interception ratios. According to Elias, he became the first rookie ever to lead the NFL in touchdown-to-interception ratio. Hawk, you expect Stroud to pick up right where he left off last season?
I do. I think Stroud is the top five quarterback in the National Football League. And I think the real test will be in this second season, because what happens with young quarterbacks, especially when you're really good, is these teams and these defensive coordinators spend the whole offseason trying to find your tendency, to try to find all the ways to throw you off your game, which is why you typically see the sophomore slump. I think he stays and does exactly what he did a year ago, which isn't maybe trending up. But at the same time, when you're a top five guy, there's not much higher for you to go.
Let's go to Carolina, where Bryce Young's rookie season was comparatively a disaster. He was sacked 62 times, ranked last in yards per attempt and off-target percentage. Add it all up, and he ended up with a total QBR of 33 last year, which was second worst in the NFL in front of only Zach Wilson. Marcus, does that trend continue in 2024 for Young?
I don't believe it does, but I keep hearing Darren Orlovsky in my ear saying, look, let's just watch Bryce Young and Canales work together this season. Let's give them an opportunity to build something. I love that they acquired Robert Hunt. I like that they went and got Damian Lewis. Bring in Deontay Johnson to give him hopefully a number one wide receiver. So he's in already in a better situation from a protection standpoint and a weapon on the outside. So we'll hopefully we'll see Bryce Young maturation process take hold. There were some things to be excited about last year, and obviously we saw him on the ground too much, struggle with some turnovers. But as a young quarterback that's worried about getting his head knocked off, you're probably going to throw some picks. Hopefully that changes this year.
Let's go to Indianapolis, where Anthony Richardson played in just four games last year thanks to a concussion he suffered in week two and a shoulder injury in week five, which required surgery and forced him to miss the rest of the year. They were trying to be conservative with his recovery, too. But the Colts still managed to rank 10th in scoring in 2023. They're bringing back all their major skill position players from last season. Dan, what does Richardson need to do this year to continue to get that production out of Indy's skill players?
Speed. They need to add speed. I think there's two teams in the NFL that are desperate to add vertical speed to their offense. And although they kept Michael Pittman Jr., who I love, they are going to have to make sure that in this draft there is somebody there that gets added to this football team that brings a vertical element, Shane Steichen and his creativity, that allows Anthony Richardson to throw the football downfield. Last year could be the greatest thing that ever happened to his career, sitting, adjusting to the NFL. I do think it's paramount specifically to Anthony. You have to learn. You are big, talented, wildly physical. Time and a place. Learn from last year. Make sure that you're understanding. We have the data, the Josh Allen's, the Lamar Jackson's, the Cam Newton's. The hits eventually add up. Don't change who you are. Refine the style of play. But they need to add speed vertically to that offense.
To Tennessee, where Will Levis's career began with a bang. He threw four touchdowns in his debut in the Titans' Week 8 win over the Falcons. But then things went south a little bit. He ended up throwing just four touchdowns in his final eight games of 2023. And his QBR was cut in half from his debut. Some of it could be people adjusting, but either way, that happens. Dan, the Titans were very active in free agency. They added Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard. What do you need to see from Levis this year, though, to show that he is the guy in Tennessee?
Yeah, it's important to point out that just because this young player that was drafted in the first or second round is getting a new offensive coordinator with Brian Callahan coming over as the new head coach, that, like, alarm bells have to go off and there's no shot for success. We have evidence that just because you're a young player that was taken early in your second season and you have that new offensive coordinator, that there's going to be this awful growing pain experience. Mahomes and Lamar, their second years, new OCs, they win MVP. Herbert was spectacular. Bortles skyrocketed his career. Derek Carr, that was that one big year that he really had. So I think it's important to understand that it doesn't necessarily have to be this, well, we have no chance for success here. Two things for Will Levis specifically. Number one, they have to rebuild the offensive line around them. Okay, so that's incumbent upon Ren Carthon. And then two, I think the thing that he showed that surprised myself, many of us, was he wasn't as robotic last year and stiff as he was that last year in college. Yeah. If that continues to develop a little bit, I'm actually, like, very encouraged by what could happen in Tennessee, both for their offense and for Will's future.
Dio, I love the fact that they got more explosive between Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard around him. And at first, I scratched my head about Pollard because I was like, isn't Spears in that role already? We saw him have a good season in bursts. But I think when you look at Ren Carthon coming over from San Francisco, it's about explosiveness in every position on the field. Guys that can catch it and get out of the way. That's going to be my statement for this year. Can he catch it and get out of the way? And both of these guys can. We the speed that they bring, Will Levis' big arm with Calvin Ridley, we saw that take hold a little bit with Trevor Lawrence last year with them having the ability to push the ball down the field. I love that they brought those two guys in because it builds, to me, what seems to be an identity based on the ability of their quarterback. And to your point, if you protect him and he continues to mature under Brian Callahan. And another sneaky good one, while you mention offensive line, is that his dad, Bill Callahan, is going to be in the building as well. He always has a good offensive line everywhere he goes. So this to me was a successful offseason so far with the Titans.
His son definitely knew that. By the way, no one ever doubted Levis's arm, right? So his average attempt traveled an NFL high 10.3 yards downfield last season. Plenty of big plays from four guys like Calvin Ridley, if you think about what.
Just real quick, it'll be fascinating. Where do they sit in the draft? They're like 9 or something, or 7?
I think they're 7.
It'll be fascinating to see if they take a wide receiver. I think
what
they
would
take. I would take offensive line, but I was also, when Cincinnati was sitting there, I would say, take offensive line. They took Jamar Chase. You know, Callahan's experience, you know, if you take Hop and you take Ridley and then you draft a Malik Nabers or a Romo Dunze.
Goodness, yeah.
It could be explosive.
You just put together a really good team. All right, new on NFL Live, let's talk a little bit more about Tennessee. They also added a big name on defense this offseason with L'Jarius Sneed, who spoke moments ago. Here's the new Titan on what he brings to the team.
Confidence, you know, resiliency, relentless. I'm a hell of a player. You know, I love my game. You know, I don't fear anything. You know, I'm not afraid to lose, but I'm going to win most of my reps. Man, just bring my swagger. You know, just bring what I learned, you know, what the coaches over there installed in me and bring it here, and I think we're going to be okay.
That jacket, too. Hawk, what is bringing in a player of Sneed's caliber due to their defense?
To your point, it's A1 level style with that jacket. So that's the first thing. Number two, it is exactly what he talked about. A confident, physical player who understands what he brings to the table. We talked so much about the Chiefs defense a year ago and how they kind of paced that team to the Super Bowl. And even in the Super Bowl, when they were taking some of those chances, a big reason for that is because they had Sneed on the outside. And that's what the Titans are getting, a guy who can lock down a complete side of the field. And he's actually probably pioneering the new version of what a corner is going to have to be, which is super physical. We all see the Instagram videos and the route videos of all the dancing. Go watch Sneed play football. Specifically, go watch him against Tyreek Hill, those two matchups, and watch how he choked the receiver out and completely shut down the pass game for that Miami Dolphins offense.
Yeah, I've said this a few times, but it's still my favorite L'Jarius Sneed stat. He was targeted 90 times in 2023, according to NFL Next Gen stats, and he allowed 0 touchdowns. So just like a total shutout over there. You can't target him. You're not going to score.
Well, not bad.
All right, coming up on NFL Live, we've got a lot more to get to here. And we're going to talk about the Packers making offseason splashes with the additions of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney to keep the momentum going from their playoff run. But what should they be doing in the draft to continue the upward trend? We got some thoughts. It's all next on NFL Live.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's impossible to be at the top at both of those, essentially. Like,
another farting Dan Orlovsky situation just took place.
Danny Dumps.
You just farted into the
Danny Dumps.
What do you mean? It's unbelievable.
Your butt was just talking.
We heard it.
Your butt just farted into the phone again like you in Monday Night Football.
Okay. All right. So Pat McAfee, people are saying it's Toots Day at Dan Orlovsky. I got to say, some days are okay and they don't go my way. And some days make me laugh the entire day. I will never get over how funny this was. Marcus, did he do it?
Bro, why is it you, bro? You know, the more and more this keep happening, bro, it's going to be real at some point, dude.
There are poots.
Like, I'm going to give you a pass on this one because I do believe it was the windshield wipers.
Oh.
No.
You guys.
Bro, how does your mic keep catching the simulation of a toot?
Doug, I don't know, bro. I don't know. And I'm very thankful for everything that I've gotten in my life, and I've been unbelievably blessed. I've been put in some inexplainable situations that are not easy.
This the price. This the price you got to pay, bro. That's the price you got to pay. It has become
life.
The price you have to pay.
He is out there Putin.
Jeez,
Dan,
man.
It is a little weird. You have to admit, it's a little weird that like Putin. There would be multiple times where you'd be on air talking about football and this happened.
I don't understand it, man. I don't understand it. It made me think of...
How did it
happen to me twice? How did it happen to me twice on national television?
On national TV, dude. My God, bro. One of them was on Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. A fart happens, and then
you sinking fast, bro.
I got to tell you something,
your
guys.
Your ship is sinking fast around here.
What have I done wrong, dog? I pray every morning. That's the first thing I do.
I guess it could be worse, so maybe the prayers are making sure it's only a poot. On that note, we are going to move on to where they cut the cheese in Packers land. The run game will look a little different next season after signing Josh Jacobs and releasing Aaron Jones. They made this move maybe with the physicality of Jacobs and durability he brings in mind to the position, despite the fact that Jones had been a productive option for years. Here's head coach Matt LaFleur on the running back position in Green Bay.
It kind of caught me off guard too, to be honest with you. I mean, certainly I knew that there was
pretty new target.
There was, and I mean, there was some other things in play, obviously, with Aaron Jones, and I didn't quite know how everything was going to go, and it just happened really fast on that Monday. They came down, and I don't know all the details of that. I'm not involved in those types of conversations, so we were super excited.
Let's bring in our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky, here. And Rob, how quickly did that running back room come together last month?
Yeah, Laura, the "it caught me off guard" comment that Matt LaFleur made last week at the NFL meetings has certainly gotten some attention. But it's a sign of just how quickly things can change in free agency. It wasn't that LaFleur didn't know Josh Jacobs had been in their discussions if they couldn't come to an agreement with Aaron Jones on a pay cut. The surprise, I'm told from people in the building, was that they just had to pivot so fast that they were able to do it to Jacobs once Jones turned down the pay cut. LaFleur, look, like a lot of coaches, he's not involved in the dollar amounts, the talk of pay cuts. But he, like many in the organization, Laura, went into the offseason thinking that Aaron Jones would be their running back. In Jacobs, though, LaFleur said they have a tough, hard-nosed back who is a high-volume guy. And given how Aaron Jones has battled injuries over the last year or so, maybe Jacobs is a better option for them from that standpoint.
Yeah, it makes sense, Rob. Thanks for the insight there. We're glad to have you on the show. Jacobs averaged just 3.5 yards per rush last season, which ranked 44th in the NFL. All right, hang tight because Rob's coming back. Packers made some major moves this offseason, bringing in Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney, but that meant that they did let Aaron Jones and Darnell Savage leave in free agency. They also lost John Runyon and David Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari played 11 seasons for the Packers, but he managed to play just 13 games in the last three seasons, dealing with so many injuries. Dan, coming off an impressive year, but where do they need to improve to make a deeper run in the playoffs? It felt like there was so much going for them. Keep it together.
I'm gonna try.
How do they get better next year?
Yeah, I do think that it'll be interesting to see if the in-your-face, man coverage, aggressive, defensive kind of philosophy from Jeff Hafley really transforms this defense. You know, when their complaints about Green Bay over the past couple years was this third down defense and, man, they would give up so many easy conversions and they wouldn't take the ball away and they couldn't get after the quarterback. Well, if Halfley's able, who comes over as the ex-Boston College head coach, longtime NFL defensive coach, and they get better on third down and they can take the football away a little more and they can get after some quarterbacks, if you really look at this offense last year, when Jordan Love started to heat up, they became really efficient. They were really good with time of possession. They created and generated a ton of explosive plays. So how football is connected, Marcus, you know this. Ruddy, you know this. Like, okay, an offense that's efficient, they control the game, they control line of scrimmage, and they're explosive on offense. And if they get off the field on third down and they can get off the quarterback and take away football, you're talking about not a good team, but a dominant team. And I think that will be really what we have to pay attention to in Green Bay, that defense and how the aggression changes it.
Yeah, what makes sense for me, Dan, and I agree 100% with what you just said. But after we watch Jordan Love make his playoff run and late in that season, the number one priority becomes his protection, right? And I know Bakhtiari departed, but he hadn't played much. The question that I want to see answered is Rasheed Walker going to be who they feel confident, who started at left tackle most of the season last year, to protect his blind side at left tackle? Or do you go and you try to find your franchise guy that's going to grow along with Jordan Love and this young core that they have from an offensive standpoint? And I'll say this, man, right now, I think offensive line is the need, but just something that I want to put out there for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure if this receiving core doesn't become one of the best by the time the season ends next year. The way that these guys played and stepped up, and the number of playmakers with Christian Watkins being absent for a majority down the stretch, they can be devastating. As long as he's protected, I think the Green Bay Packers are a true contender in the NFC.
Yeah, let's get Rob back in here, because as you see, Green Bay has the number 25 overall pick in the draft. You heard, Rob, the guys talking about offense, defense. Do you get any sense the bigger need from the Packers' standpoint, what they think they're going to do with that first-round draft pick?
Well, Laura, it's more than just that pick at 25. They have five picks in the first three rounds. Yeah. That's five in the top 91, thanks to a couple of trades. So they can do a lot of what Dan and Marcus were talking about. It is easy to forget that David Bakhtiari walked out that door because he hadn't played since the first game of last season. But this is a five-time All-Pro, and they're going to make an investment this spring, this summer, in Jordan Love. He's going to end up getting $40, $45, $50 million a year. And to sit there and say that Rasheed Walker, who played well, but was a seventh-round pick in 2022, is the blindside protector of Jordan Love from here on out, maybe a stretch. The Packers have said they want competition there. And then real quickly on defense, when they switched, the last time they made a major switch defensively like this, they went from a 4-3 to a 3-4 in 2009 when Dom Capers came in. They drafted two guys in the first round, B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews, because they needed a nose tackle and an edge rusher to fit that scheme. What they need in this scheme right now, they did get one of those in Xavier McKinney, a downhill wide-ranging safety. But they need some linebackers to go along with Quay Walker. So don't be surprised. And we know Brian Gutekunst's penchant for drafting defensive players high in the draft. So don't be surprised if it's a defensive guy early on.
Yo, Rob, real quick, it's Dan. What's the organization's belief right now or stance with Watson's long-term health? I know he's had some struggles. Anything on that?
Yes, Dan, it's a great question. They actually sent him down to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, where they do some hamstring studies to try to figure out how they can correct this problem. Because as you've seen, when he's on the field, they're a different offense.
Interesting. A great insight, Rob. We appreciate you being with us here. We talked a little bit about Jordan Love. He hadn't gotten that bag yet, but Swagoo, who did?
Lord have mercy, y'all. Y'all know I sat at home off TV enjoying myself watching these big fellas get paid. It's about getting the bag in the offseason to the tune of over $250 million. The big fellas got paid in totality of guaranteed money. We're going to reveal these dudes when we get back.
Here's the Week 2 UFL schedule. Saturday, the Brahmas square off against the Showboats at noon Eastern on ESPN. And at 8 on ABC, the Renegades take on the Battlehawks. Then on Sunday, the Stallions and Panthers kick off at noon Eastern on ESPN. With the Roughnecks and DC Defenders at 4 on Fox. The ESPN and ABC games can also be seen on ESPN+. Plus, it's great access, and spring football, don't miss it. Hey, we're in for a special treat now, folks, okay? It's the return of Get That Bag,
an
off-season staple where the Big Swagoo takes a look back at all the guys who got paid. There's nothing he loves more. It makes him shimmy. Look at those shoulders moving. Take it away, Marcus.
Man, I get so happy when I see it. It brings tears to my eyes. Look, I love when everybody get paid, but more importantly, when the big fellas get paid. And up front, we knew it was a D-tackle heavy free agency year, and Christian Wilkinson jumped it off. We're going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Y'all, the man got paid. He did phenomenal work in the run and pass game on the Miami Dolphins defense. Y'all know how important I think these interior guys are. Christian Wilkins was next in line to get a big payday, and he got over $100 million. My man, Justin Madubuike. Listen, I've been high on this dude since he was at Texas A&M. And now it finally came to fruition in a defense that would allow him to be fast and physical and get on edges of people and rush the passer. And we know how you get paid when you can rush the passer, get sacks, and affect games from the interior. Secondly, Brian Burns. This has been a long process for my man, Double B. But he finally got out of Carolina and got his bag with the New York Giants to the tune of $87.5 million guaranteed. Y'all, again, $87.5 million. If somebody give me that, y'all will not see me on y'all TV screens. Shout out to my man, Brian Burns, for getting his paper. And last but not least, y'all knew it had to happen. The Kansas City Chiefs couldn't play coy, and Chris Jones couldn't play coy. This is a love affair that they're having in Kansas City. They're winning Super Bowls, all spearheaded on defense by the big fella number 95. And if anybody deserved to get $100 million, it was Chris Jones. We've seen him do it in every single playoff game and every Super Bowl. Y'all, let's grasp this for a second, because I don't care about the totality of contracts. I care about what they gonna take home, what the Brinks truck actually has in it. And between four of these guys, there was a total of $347 million guaranteed. Ooh. That's a BMB summer. That's why we can take our shirts off, have a little jelly, and still look fly. Because we got paper.
You said jelly, dog?
Yeah, you know.
Little jelly.
Nah.
Little one pack. The one pack club.
That's why we love the big club. By the way, it's a six pack. It just might be under some jelly, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's under there. They got
an extra coder for transportation then.
Okay, then. The Bills had a tough cap situation entering free agency. Oh, Dan, what a day for you. Josh Allen converted some money to free up some cap space, but still the Bills had to let Gabe Davis, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poirier, Leonard Floyd, and Mitch Morse go. They're going to look a whole lot different. They did manage to bring in Curtis Samuel, Austin Johnson, Mike Edwards, and Mitchell Trubisky. But Marcus, as you can see there, I mean, there's no two ways to look at it, right? Buffalo lost a ton of talent here. How does that change your view of the Bills?
Yeah, I think the window is closing unless they get a lot of play out of the draft and guys that they bring in as free agents. We hear Mina talk about this all the time with the Kansas City Chiefs, who've been so fortunate to hit on draft picks and play at a very high level. But this is what happens when you pay your quarterback. At some point down the road, you're going to lose key pieces everywhere else. We'll see if Josh Allen and what they built is enough to keep them in contention in the AFC. I think it became much more difficult after this offseason.
Speed. I said this about Indianapolis. There were two teams that I thought desperately needed speed. Buffalo is that second team. I know that Steph is still there. He's fantastic. They lose Gabe. Is Keon Coleman going to be the guy in this class? Is it going to be Franklin from Oregon? They need vertical speed. Steph, I still think, is a very good receiver and maybe more of a possession guy for them than he was in the past. But Xavier, with someone in this draft, I want to ask Hawk, who for this team, with Adonai Mitchell potentially out of Texas, in this class, for realistically Buffalo, like, who's the guy that is a good enough wideout where they're going to be selecting, but also is that vertical speed guy for this offense that's needed? Who's that guy for them?
I like Mitchell. I like Cole. I like Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Now, some things would have to go their way in the draft to probably get him where they're at, or they move up in that position. He's a speed guy. He could use some development on the route side, but they're threading a needle for Buffalo. To your point, Dan and Marcus, they've never not had the roster in this era, right? But now with the Stephon Diggs scenario and there's uncertainty about beyond this year, you're trying to get a legit number two to round out an incredible receiving core with Diggs, who is a number one receiver, a potential number two. You got Khalil Shakir in the slot, and you also got Curtis Samuel, who's a do-it-all guy.
Yeah.
And you're also trying to hopefully hit a jackpot in that if in the event Stephon Diggs moves forward, you have a guy who can be the number one receiver. And that's why I like Brian Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas at 28, I just think is unrealistic, Hawk. Like, I don't think he falls there. That's why if A.D. Mitchell out of Texas is there, I could see it. I'm also a massive Keon Coleman guy. I know he ran slow at the combine. Who cares?
Coleman.
I
mm-hmm.
think his speed on the field is exactly what Buffalo needs.
Yeah, I think the speed, to your point, Dan, like that is what's going to round out this offense for Josh Allen and Joe Brady. The problem is when you look at how they ran this offense at the end of the season last year, they didn't depend on that outside receiver as much as possible. So to your point about Cole, he could slot nicely in there because it might not be as much of a priority as we've seen in Buffalo offenses previously.
Yeah, a reminder, too, Joe Brady taking over the offensive coordinator role midseason. We'll see if he got more toys to play with, how that may look. Time for one more thing before we go. Last night was a great night of college basketball. The women's tournament on ESPN. It was so much fun. UConn punched their ticket to the Final Four. LSU was sent home by Caitlin Clark.
We'll get some Paige Beckers.
Dan, what do you think of the results? You happy?
Honestly, we watched both games at family. I loved it. I love the fact that Gino Auriemma is back. Paige Beckers, I think it's one of the best coaching jobs in women's basketball. That team is not good enough. LSU, what are they doing, Marcus? Nah, that's too hateful.
They're going to the crib, but we got some hardware.
It was a great night.
No hate, LSU.
We'll see you tomorrow.
No hate.